Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to America's Workforce. Don't forget we're available on a number of platforms, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, just to name a few, giving you a couple of choices to hear this show now nationally, podcasts. We certainly do appreciate that, especially if you go to our podcast, subscribe, and give us a rating, 5 stars, would be greatly appreciated. And we certainly appreciate our first guest on the show today, that's being Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Their website, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle, BuildCentralOH. Lots to talk about today. A lot of it dealing with politics. And later we're going to get into the annual Dad's Day shoot, which was postponed. Usually it takes place in June, but it's going to happen 1 week from tomorrow. That's right, September 12th. Mr. Hager, welcome back to the broadcast. And happy pre-Labor Day to you.
Happy pre-Labor Day to you. Friday is here, and we are staring the 3-day Labor Day weekend right in the face. So this is good times. This is good times.
Different time in America, the new normal here with the pandemic. You and I have had many conversations about how workers are being affected and the safety gear, and we know with the union difference at play, those who are in a union are getting what they need. Sometimes not everything, but certainly more than in a non-union sector. And that being the case, I just want to let you know, I have to tease you here a little bit. The ABC Group, Associated Builders and Contractors, just the other day endorsed Donald Trump. Now, I know that'll get you going here, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's first talk about the election of Robert Cupp as Speaker of the Ohio House, and all this has to do with the FBI raid on Larry Householder some weeks back. So give me a little your point of view here on Mr. Cupp. What do you think?
So I've met him a few times. I've been to a few events. You know, he's from the Lima area, which is about an hour northwest of Columbus, and it's about 30 minutes northwest of where I live in Marysville. But I've been to a few events for him. I've obviously seen him at the State House. Engaged in conversation with him on different things and stuff. Very bright guy, very disciplined, very deliberate, straightforward guy, honest, trustworthy, you know, just a fair-minded individual. Obviously, he's been in the House and in the Senate, and he was even on the Supreme Court for a while and lost re-election there. But I think it's an interesting move by the Republicans. I think it's going to help steady the ship a little bit for their party. It's also going to provide some leadership down there at the State House, and it seems like several rallied around him and have an affinity for Bob Cupp, the new speaker. So we're looking forward to his leadership down there, and I think he's going to do a really, really good job. So we're kind of excited about it.
Well, the main thing is to make sure that we don't have those creeps, and we know who they are. I'm not going to get any names. Most of them are down south in southern Ohio, Cincinnati area. They keep coming to the table with this right to, oh, we got to go right to work. Michigan did it. Indiana did it. West Virginia did it. Wisconsin did it. We got to do it here in Ohio. Prevailing wage attacks. From what I've been gathering, it doesn't seem to be the case for Mr. Cupp. I'd like to get your point of view on that.
No, I mean, in Lima and the people that he represents in a very rural area, I think members of our building trades and members of ACT Ohio have incredible strides and made great relationships with him, not only in the area he represents, but around the state. You know, Gary McFerrin, who's the political director for the IUPAT, you know, he's quoted as saying that, you know, Bob Cupp's a solid supporter of the unionized building trades, and he understands the value we provide and the issues that our members and their families face, you know. And Tim Skinner, who's a international rep for the UA, I had some conversations with him this morning. He's a sprinkler fitter and was a member of our building trades. And, you know, he said that that Speaker Cupp's been a friend of labor, you know, not only in the area but across the state, and that the UA has always supported Bob Cupp and will always continue to do so. So it seems like he's going to do a good job. And you know, you talked about it at the beginning. Obviously, the removal of Speaker Householder was, you know, something that was not something that we were looking forward to. Obviously, we had a great friend, you know, that held the gavel for us and Speaker Householder. And, you know, he held up to his promises. He was, you know, against right to work. He, you know, was against repeal of prevailing wage. We talked about it on a show before. You know, before he was Speaker, the most latest prevailing wage bill had 27 co-signers on it. The most recent one when he was Speaker had 9. And it's like I told some of my members, too, the relationships that he helped us forge with pro-labor Republicans that he recruited, you know, the Jeff Larays and the Mark Frasers and the Brian Stewarts and Mark Johnson, who's head of the Tri-State Building Trades, you know, those are going to continue to move forward and help us out, hopefully, you know, fight off any anti-union efforts that are down there that a small minority of people do down there at the State House.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of them do that just for media attention. I noticed some of them were the same ones that are trying to impeach Mike DeWine as governor. And I don't know. You know that's not going to go anywhere. But again,
well,
media...
And if I would have told you a year ago, I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, if I would have told you a year ago that in September of 20, Mike DeWine is going to be more popular with the Democratic Party than he is within his own party, you would have thought that, you know, but that's the way that 2020 is shaped up. It's been an odd year. It's been a very odd year.
Oh, God, you can say that again. No doubt about it. I want to talk about House Bill 6 here, because that's what brought Householder down. And that is that piece of legislation, very controversial, well-funded. First Energy put a whole lot of money into it, and apparently they were going to save like $1 billion. And, of course, that's legislation that would have propped up Ohio's two nuclear power plants. What do you think's going to happen here? It sounds like it's going to be repealed. What's the future hold on this whole thing, Dorsey?
I don't know, because we're hearing different things down here in Central Ohio and Columbus. I know that the Senate President, Larry Althoff, made a statement last week that he was going to bring the Senate back and they were going to vote and they were going to repeal HB 6. A lot of members in the House on both sides of the aisle have claimed that they are also in favor of repealing HB 6. The governor came out, said he wasn't in support of repealing HB 6, but then he came out and said he was in support of repealing HB 6. But I think the conversation down here and the conversation that we're having with the people down at the State House, whether they're Republican or Democrat, is that, you know, was HB 6 flawed? Did it have some things that maybe some environmentalists and some Democrats didn't want to support or couldn't support? Yeah, it did. But at the end of the day, what the building trades looked at and what we tried to do and what a lot of our friends, you know, across the building trade spectrum, you know, the iron workers, the IBW, the laborers, the UA, you know, was we tried to do what we could to save those jobs, but also to keep the portfolio, the energy portfolio of the state of Ohio, you know, the way it is and not, you know, totally reluctant on one energy source or another. And I think HB 6, you know, maybe it came about in a flawed way, but I think that it's done that. So anything moving forward, I know that I'm going to try to do what I can, and I think our members will too here in Columbus Central Ohio, to try to make sure that we can preserve, you know, those very good building trades jobs that are in both those facilities. So I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine what happens. Like I said, I mean, I'm not a person that sits in the legislature, and I don't the laws and everything, but I think it would be very difficult to just repeal HB 6 and not do anything to replace it.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Well, like you said, this is a crazy year. Anything could happen, no doubt about that. Let's take a look at national politics here, and I know you're real ingrained in the political structure in Central Ohio. What's the game plan going forward? And you know, right after Labor Day, it kicks into pretty much high gear. What's your opinion?
Well, I think that any of us that looked at the statistics or anything from 2016 can agree that, you know, Hillary Clinton, the passion wasn't there, and she didn't drive people out to vote. I think that Joe Biden is going to get people out to vote. I think his VP pick of Kamala Harris is going to really get people out to vote. A couple of stats that I saw today that were very interesting was, one is Joe Biden had the best month he ever had in the month of July. He raised $150 million. And people can say, okay, well, fundraising, well, that usually equates, you know, it's a passion for a candidate, right? Somebody's not going to give money unless they're passionately in support of that. After he announced his VP pick, in the month of August, he raised close to $300 million. So he almost doubled that. So that's the passion moving forward. Another stat, too, and you know this, and Ohio is a microcosm of the country. For Democrats to win and be successful, and for Joe Biden to win, he's going to have to get the vote out in the cities, Cincinnati, the Colts. Columbus and the Cleveland. Hillary was unable to do that. She was unable to do that in Philadelphia, and then the rural parts of Pennsylvania caught her, and that's why she lost Pennsylvania, and that's where we're at now. However, I just saw some statistics this morning in Franklin County, which, you know, Columbus here in central Ohio. They polled registered voters, 86%, which is incredibly high. Usually a presidential year is around 77, 78%. 86% of registered voters say they intend to vote in this year's election, and over 60% of them say they intend to vote before Election Day. So I think the big thing is, with everything that's going on with the fears of COVID and the pandemic, is what do the individual candidates do to get their base out to vote? And also, what do they do to make sure that voting is safe and easy so that everybody feels that way to vote? And I know the local party here, the Franklin County Democratic Party, which has some pretty big races on the ballot, you know, their big thing is, you know, the old days was the sample ballot and stand at the polls. And not that that's not wrong to do this year, and I'm sure they're going to do that, but I think you're going to see them invest more in chase pieces, communications, helping to register voters and helping to make sure that they get after voters who have said that they're going to vote who haven't voted before Election Day. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. And, you know, I saw an interview earlier this week with our Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, and I think it was on Don Lemon on CNN, and he made the statement that, you know, Ohio, and some will disagree and some will agree, I'm one that agrees, Ohio has made it very easy for everybody to vote. And I think he said there's right around 11 million registered voters in the state of Ohio, and everyone is going to be mailed an application to that. All they have to do is sign and mail, send back, and that they'll be able to get an absentee ballot, which will make voting incredibly easier. He's talked about adding more boxes and stuff at the polling centers for people to drop off their ballots. So I think this year it's going to be really easy to vote. Now we just got to make sure we get our members, our family members of our members out and make sure that they vote. And not only, you know, we talk about this all the time, not only the presidential, which is incredibly important, but all the way down the ticket to people and electeds and candidates that support our members and support our issues.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my application just the other day. My wife and I got ours, and I'm filling it out. I'm definitely going to do that. I'm hearing, too, to your point about absentee, they're saying probably at least 70% of the people will vote by mail. And I hope they add more of those boxes, because big counties like Cuyahoga, I believe he wanted to do one per county. And that's just not right. They should do it according to population, you know?
Absolutely. Not right, not enough, nowhere near enough. The one thing that the Secretary of State, LaRose, said the other night that I did like, though, because Don Lemon was kind of questioning that there's legal people that are saying that if this election is close, we may not know who won for a couple of weeks because of the absentee and mail-in voting. And, you know, in Ohio, Ohio's a little different. As soon as your ballot comes in, it gets counted, and then the results of your absentee vote are released shortly after the polls close. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Where are we at now? We're, like, within 60 days, right? I think we're pretty close. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I think it's 60 days exactly there, Dorsey. Hey, I got this note the other day from one of my union brothers out in Long Island that the Associated Builders and Contractors, which I know you are aware of, one of the largest non-union construction groups in the country, has gone forward and said that they are going to endorse Donald Trump. No surprise there. And apparently they don't like Joe Biden because of his support of the PRO Act, the Protect the Right to Organize. And obviously that would hurt their membership, no doubt about it. No surprise here, right, Dorsey?
No surprise at all. You know, there's a gentleman here in Central Ohio that's the president of the ABC chapter here. And I'm sure we'll talk about this in the future, because it looks like we're going to get some good news on this here coming up in the next couple of weeks. But we have some wage theft legislation that city council is going to act on, and it had its formal hearing a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, I, a lot of union members, but also everyday people spoke in favor of. There was one person that spoke against wage theft legislation. And I guess he's the only one that, you know, again, thinks that maybe people don't deserve to have an avenue to be able to recoup wages that are stolen from them or misappropriated. But it was the local ABC chapter president. So it's just ironic how some of their thinking and I read the press release where they said that they were, you know, supporting President Trump in his bid for reelection. And that's all the key things that they, you know, that they spin, that their members buy into about, you know, capitalism and competitiveness and, you know, the ability to set wages and stuff. And it's just, it's terribly unfair of what they do and how they take advantage of some of their employees and some of their members and what they do. And the one thing that I don't understand, as we talk to contractors that are here in Central Ohio, you know, a lot of those contractors, like, it doesn't make sense to me, and some of the contractors that I know some of our unions have organized in the past few years, it doesn't make sense to me that why you would want to allocate yourself with a group whose biggest selling point is that they pay less. It just seems like it's a race to the bottom that nobody would want to belong to, you know. And I can remember a few years ago, we were fortunate enough to sign a non, to organize a non-union contractor here. And at the end of the day, I asked him, I said, hey, man, I said, explain to me. I said, what was the reason? What was the reason? And he goes, well, he goes, I know I'm good enough of a businessman that I can be profitable no matter what I do. And he's like, instead of making a living and feeding my kids selling 50-cent hamburgers, he's like, I would like to make a living on selling $20 steaks. And he goes, before, that's what I was doing. He goes, and now that's what I want to do. He goes, I want to make a living where I'm paying my people a good living, and they're all earning, and they've got benefits and stuff, but also the product that I'm doing is a better product. And I think that's
absolutely
the big thing, you know.
Very good story there, Dorsey. Thanks for sharing that with our listeners. You know, I got to take a quick break. We'll talk about the Dad's Day shoot, which is a week from tomorrow. That's coming up in our next segment. Later in the show, we're going to talk to an immigrant from El Salvador who has achieved the American dream. In fact, he's a multimillionaire right now. It's a really interesting story, and we're going to share that with you right here on America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
Hey, we're back. It's called America's Workforce, and we are available on various platforms, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, just to name a few. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. All right, we finally have the Dad's Day shoot, and DADS is an acronym for Dollars Against Diabetes, and there's a really interesting story behind this. It was supposed to happen in June because, well, the pandemic changed everything, so it's being moved to September 12th, which is a week and one day away. And I'm reading in the press release, in fact, we've been plugging this for the last couple of weeks, so hopefully we get a nice turnout here. Since 1988, I guess your group, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, raised, what is this, $124,000 for dads? And nationally, through the building trades, we're talking a whole lot of money, $48 million in 27 years. All right, Dorsey, talk to me about your involvement here. This is a great event. I know you love to go out and shoot, and it's going to be happening here soon enough. Talk to me about getting involved in this. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when I first came on 6 years ago, I mean, it seems like a lot of people do golf outings, which nothing wrong with that, and we partake in a lot of those. A small group of us, including myself, we kind of had the conversation about, instead of doing a golf outing, about having a shoot, you know. You're out there a little bit less hours, you know, you're doing something a little bit different. Plus, you're getting people from the community who don't always shoot shotguns or have the opportunity to do a clay shoot. And let's face it, if you hit a bad golf shot, it's not very fun. If you shoot a shotgun and you miss, it's still pretty fun because it makes a lot of noise and it's pretty loud and it's just really cool holding a shotgun. So we've been able to grow this thing, raise a lot of money, get a lot of people out, get a lot of people interested. You know, we talked earlier in the segment about this being 2020 and a huge year politically. You know, we've got a ton of sponsors from a lot of electeds, a ton of sponsorships from a lot of candidates. I'm sure we'll have people come out, judges, school board members, city council members, state reps, state senators. 2 years ago, Governor DeWine came out and addressed the group. So I'm sure we'll have a lot more of that this year as we're heading closer to the election. And, you know, the COVID-19 and thing and the pandemic, you know, you and I have talked about it. And it's a bummer, and it's really put a cramp on 2020. It's made it a terrible year. But the one positive is that it's made us kick this thing from June to September. So it looks like we're going to have a little bit better weather. It looks like we're going to have a little bit cooler weather. And I think that that's what's helped drive turnout, plus being a little bit closer to Election Day. So I think it's something that we're going to revisit and look at having even in the future. You know, if you can have it in the fall, and if you can miss that Cleveland Browns kickoff or that Ohio State Buckeye game, still have it on a weekend where people can get out and have a good time, you know, shoot some guns, blow some stuff up, have a couple of brats and an adult beverage, I think it's a pretty good time. Not all at the same time, obviously. That wouldn't be safe to have a gun, a brat, and an adult beverage, but you know what I mean. So yeah, but it's a good thing, and we raise a lot of money, and I'm really fortunate that we're able to do our very, very small part and help on a nationwide effort for the National Building Trades to kind of help you know, promote this and get money and really help this effort to hopefully do away with a very bad disease.
Yeah, back in, I think it was in June, we had Dr. Ricordi on. He's the guy that runs the Diabetes Research Institute down at the University of Miami, and he was all giddy about the trades. I mean, well, yeah, I would be too if somebody gave me $48 million. I mean, why not?
That's right.
But he's doing revolutionary things down there. Revolution. And you know, this is a disease. We've got to get a handle on it because there's so many people, and there's various forms of the disease. There's type 1 or type A and type B. Some of that can be controlled by diet, and otherwise you have to take insulin shots. But this is something that people die from each and every day, and it's good to know that the money is going to a very, very good cause here. I have to ask you, now I saw the deadline to register was last Friday. I would imagine if somebody was real good, had some very good persuasive techniques about themselves, they might be able to squeeze in here. I don't know. We'll see, but
absolutely be able to squeeze in. And if they're a really good shooter, also, you know, like I said, it's my event, so they get to shoot on my team. Because, like I've said before, you know, I'll bring my score sheet home after the event, and my wife will look at it, and she'll say, "Hey, if anybody breaks in on us, just hand me the shotgun, because all you're going to do is scare them with it." So, yeah, that's not one of my skill sets. But like I said, it's still a good time, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to go out and do. And the people at Blackwing do an exceptional job with not only the course and the layout, but Kayla LeMaster there and Joe King, the way they treat us and the way they handle, and they're really good with the ammunition and the rifles and the shotguns and the safety and the expertise. It's just a really cool place to be, and it's a great place to hang out. I think that we've developed that relationship with them the last 6 years, that they really enjoy seeing our people come out, and they enjoy having the building trades out there and having the event. I think they really like it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You can bring your own gun. I know a lot of people have specific guns they want to use. And if you don't have one, Black Wing, the organization you were talking about, will provide a gun for free, and all the ammo will be provided. And I'll tell you, that stuff's pricey too. So it's good. It's a really good deal. It's $110 per shooter, and that includes the ammo, the gun, as I mentioned, as well as lunch. So a good time. I'm going to give your phone number out here, if you don't mind. Maybe somebody listening is a really good shooter. You're going to say, "Well, I want him on my team."
Exactly.
It's
There's still four open spots on my team of five left. So four open
there
spots
you go.
Here, on my team of five.
Here's the number. It's 614. I'll be real precise here. 614-361-2114. 614-361-2114 if you want to be on Dorsey Hager's team. He'll definitely make some room for you. And obviously, this is all going to a very, very good cause. Dollars Against Diabetes, been going on since 1987. All started by the North America Building Trades Unions, raising money for the Diabetes Research Institute at the University of Miami. Well, we're going to leave it on that note, my friend. Thank you for your time. And one more question here. What's the game plan for this weekend, marching into Labor Day this coming Monday?
A couple days of pool day, a bonfire, spending time with the family, and you know, you can't spend time with the family without having some of them adult beverages, so I'll be doing that as well. That'll be the weekend. So how about you? How about you?
Pretty much the same thing. What I do every year, I do this thing we call Rib Fest. And I go around making sure I get the best ribs. Some of them are in the freezer. I'm going to buy some fresh this weekend, bring the family over, fire up the grill, and away we go, baby. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Nice. That sounds awesome. Sounds awesome.
Nothing wrong with a little pork on a Labor Day weekend. Especially baby back ribs. Exactly. Those are my favorite, no doubt. Okay, my friend, I'm going to let you go.
Mix it in with some Indians baseball, and you're right there. Huh?
We're talking about food and adult beverages. I have to leave now, okay?
All right.
Okay, you take care, my friend. Enjoy your Labor Day. Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, website columbusconstruction.org. One more plug for that phone number if you want to be part of the Dad's Day shoot, 614-361-2114. Take care. We'll talk to you in October, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. Happy Labor Day.